All right, we are recording. Welcome to Moedon Ivri, Club Hebrew. Very happy to have all you guys here this afternoon. We got some new students here, so everyone is going to have to give them at least a hand for showing up, because they've had the guys back there that didn't want to take the table. They've had about a week and a half of Hebrew, so I'm very happy that they're here. I've been encouraging them to come as we go through the text. As the weeks go on, more and more lights will go on, I hope, as they're recognizing more and more things in the text, as you guys all know. Again, for those of you who haven't been here before, very, very happy to have you here. This is very informal. I basically will translate and read the verse and kind of parse out. If you guys have questions about anything, about the grammar, syntax, or whatever, please feel free to ask. And we can stop and take the time to do that. So whenever you have to leave for class, we'll usually go till about 12:25 or something. But if you have to go to class, feel free to get up and go. Just come and go as you want, all right? We are actually in 2 Samuel chapter 3, right in the middle, a very interesting story. We're about ready to start verse 23. And this is the incident where David and Abner meet, because Abner wants to bring Israel over to his camp, remember? And so they discuss it. They agree. David has let Abner, the chief of Saul's army, go free. In the meantime, Joab and his army has come back from the spoil. And that's where we picked it up in verse 22. And then he hears now that Abner has come and gone. All right. Remember, those two were counterparts. Abner being the general of Israel, and Joab being the general of David's army. Also his nephew, by the way, causing a lot of problems in his reign. All right, so we're about ready to start verse 23. Ve'yoav ve'kol ha'tzava sher ito ba'u. Va'yagidu le'yoav le'mor. Ba Avner ben Ner el ha'melech. Va'yeshal chehu. Va'yelek be'shalom. All right. Now Joab and all the army which was with him came. Ba'u. Notice this call, third common plural, came. Vayagidu, what's the root?
Nagad.
Good, Nagad. Notice a hiphil from Nagad. And they reported to Joab. Notice this is typically how Hebrew does an impersonal construction. The they being, we don't know who the subject is, but in English it would be something like, and it was told to Joab. See? Lemor, saying, Ba'avner, Abner, the son of Ner, came. Notice from Bo, Abner, the son of Ner, came to Hamelech, to the king. Vayeshal Chehu, and he sent him away. Again, the PL infinitive construct. And he sent him away, Vayelech, again from Halak, and he went, Beshalom, in peace, peacefully. All right? So Joab's just getting this news. Good. Questions through 23 about any of the verbs or anything? All right, good. Verse 24. Joab was not happy, as you will see. Vayavo Yoav el Hamelech. Vayomer, me asita. Hinevav ner eleka. Lamaze shilachto vayelek ha-lok. Okay. Then Joab came from Bo again to the king, and he said, notice, me asita, what have you done? All right, notice the root of asita is from asa, second masculine singular call. What have you done? And the hey there is just a mater letter. Notice, again, in this text, you get a lot of mater letter spellings. He said, what have you done? So notice, Joab was pretty confident to come to the king with that kind of language. Hine, look, ba avner. Abner came, third masculine singular, Abner came to you, Eleka. Lama zeh. What's the function of the zeh here? Does anyone know? What it does is kind of stress the question. So in other words, it would be something like in English, why in the world? See, notice how we use why in the world to kind of say that's a ridiculous thing you did. So it's almost like that. Lama zeh. Why in the world, shilachto, did you let him go? Okay, this is a PL from Shalach. Notice, second masculine singular plus a third masculine singular suffix, shilacho. Why in the world did you let him go? Vayelech. So that he went away. Now notice this last word. So that he went away, halok. What kind of form is this? Infinitive absolute from halak. So notice you have vayelech is from the root halak, and then halok, the infinitive. So the question you have to ask yourself is, what is the force of the halok? And I would suggest that here it seems to be an adverb to say something about the going. So you might want to say something like this. Why in the world did you let him go so that he went freely? See? So it's literally, so he walked away walking. And some translations will go, and you let him get away. All right? So again, notice you have kind of a very interesting use of the infinitive absolute in this case. All right? Any questions about verse 24? Well, in something like this, when I'm interested in the form, I want to check out three or four translations to see how they render, and they all kind of do something different here. But what I'm most interested in is how they see something functioning. Because if you see this functioning as an adverb, then you're trying to say, what is it saying about the verb? See, there's some, you know, he went away, halok. So it's not just an ordinary walking away. It's something, he wants to add something. See, so, you know, it's not bad to say in English, and you let him get away. And he got away. See, you sent him away, and so he got away. All right? But notice that in the other places following Vayelech, you had Beshalom, peacefully. So you might want to think it's kind of parallel to that. You let him go freely. You let him go, you know, however you want to kind of render that. That's what I'm... So if you see it in relation to Beshalom, then you might want to translate something like that as well. Okay, verse 25. Here's Joab giving the worst motives to Abner. This is really funny. Yadata et Avner ben Ner ki lepatoteka ba u ladaat et motzaaka ve'et movaaka ve'ladaat et kol asherata oseh. Okay, you know, second masculine singular from Yada, you know Abner, the son of Ner. Okay, now notice this key clause, ki lepatoteka. The lepatoteka is a, what do you think that is? Infinitive construct, P-A-L, infinitive construct, and the root is pata. Pe, tav, he. Remember those, the third he infinitive constructs always have that ot ending, the feminine, looks like a feminine plural ending. So, you know Abner, son of Er. Now, I'm going to render the key as certainly or surely. Surely, to deceive you, he has come. All right, so pata means to deceive in the PL form. So you know Abner, son of Ner. Surely, to deceive you, he came. Veladaat, and to know. Infinitive construct from the root, what? Yada. Very good. So to deceive you, he came, and to know. So notice here's he's giving you the reasons Abner really came to David. So he came in order to deceive you, and so that he might know et motzaaka, so that he might know your going out. Notice that this is a noun from Yatza. So he might go know your going out, and et movaaka, and your coming in. From this is a noun from Mavo. Okay, so you might know you're going out and you're coming in. Veladaat, and so that he might know et kol, all which you oseh, are doing. All right, so Abner was really a spy. He didn't really come to make peace. So Joab, remember, sees the dark side of Abner here. All right, now why doesn't Joab not like Abner? What did he do?
He killed his brother.
Right, way back in 1 Samuel. All right, so he's been holding it in for a long time, and it's about to come out. All right, any questions through verse 25? All right, verse 26. Vayetze Yoav me'im David. Vayishlach malakim acharei Avner. Vayashivu oto mibor hasira. Vadavid lo yada. Okay, then Joab went out. Vayetze, that's from Yatza. Call him. five consecutive. So Joab went out, Me'im David, from David. Again, you have men plus im stuck together, as we've often had in this text. Joab went out from David, Vayishlach, from Shalach again. Here's a call. And he sent Malachim, first-year students, and he sent messengers. Acharei, after Avner. So he sent messengers after Avner. Vayashivu oto, and they returned him. Notice that Vayashivu is a hifil from what root? From Shuv. Yeah, that's the tricky one. Shuv is to return. All right. So they sent messengers after Abner, and they returned him from the bor, that's cistern or well, from the well of Sirah. That's the name of the well. So from the cistern of Sirah. Okay. But David, lo yada, David did not know it. Okay. So Joab's working behind David's back here. Okay. Any questions through 26? All right. 27. Vayashav Avner Chevron, Vayatehu Yoav el Tok ha Sha'ar, Ledaber ito Bashli, Vayakehu Sham ha Chomesh, Vayamat Badam Asael Achiv. Okay. So Abner returns. See Vayashav? That's from Shuv again. That's a call. So notice the contrast between that Vayashivu and the beginning of verse 27, Vayashav. The Vayashivu is the hifil. He brought him back. And Vayashav is simple call. He returned. Right? So Abner returned Hebron to Hebron. Okay, now the details are very short. Vayatehu. Everybody see the root here is nata, a hifil from nata. You know that the nun has assimilated because of the dagish in the tet preceded by a short vowel. So the root is nata, and it means to turn him away. He inclined him. Okay, so in other words, Abner was coming into the gate of the city, and Joab brought him over someplace. Okay, so notice Joab's a subject. So Joab turned him in to the midst. Tok means in the middle. To the midst of the sha'ar, of the gate. And remember, if you look at gates, I suppose it's referring to, you. Remember when you go through the gate, there's like these room deals on either side of the gate, like three rooms, sometimes a number of rooms, and it was thought to be used for storage or for guards or something. So I think what it means is, as he was going through the gate, he pulled him into one of those rooms, see? Ledaber, to speak ito with him, ba shali, in secret. Bashali means in secret, and it's used only here, from shalah, to be at ease. Okay, really, shali means quietness. So, see, he took him aside. That's really what it's kind of saying. All right, now notice what happens. Vayakehu, what's the root? Naka. Naka, notice an assimilated nun. Hifil, vav consecutive. And he struck him there, hachomesh. That means the stomach, the belly. So in English, we would say, and he struck him there in the belly. And obviously, it's implied it wasn't with a feather. Okay? Vayamat, what's the root? Mut, again, a hollow verb. And so he died. All right? Pause. Bedam. Notice that bait here is a perfect example of how bait is used in exchanges. So bait is usually just money. He gave him his shirt for $30. So here, and so he died in exchange for the blood of Asael, that's the guy's name, Achiv, his brother. So notice that the narrator of this text tells us what's behind Joab's plotting and bringing him back. All right? Very good. So that 27 is kind of the key verse of this chapter. Any questions about 27? All right. 28. Vayishma David me acharei kein. Vayomer nakianu ki umam lakti me'im Yahweh ad olam. Mid demei Avner ben Ner. So then David heard. Notice the root is shama. Then David heard me acharei. Notice that that is min plus acharei. So from plus after. So David heard from after this. What he means is, obviously in English we would say, then David heard, so I would probably say after this David heard. See, after the deed was done, it was too late to do anything. Vayomer, and he said, Naki, that means innocent. It's an adjective. Innocent anoki, am I, umam lakti, innocent am I, and my kingdom, me'im, here's that me'im again, but here I would translate it, with Yahweh. Okay? So innocent am I and my kingdom with Yahweh, ad olam, forever. Okay? Mi deme, that's min plus the plural of dam. Dam means blood. Damim, here probably means something like bloodshed. Alright? So, innocent forever because of the bloodshed of Abner, son of Ner. Questions? Yeah, Dave.
In the previous verse, it was bait with dom, meaning like an exchange.
Yes.
And now we go to the main. Is there any grammatical category, or is this?
Oh, I think what's happening in 27 is the narrator is saying simply he killed him in exchange for Aziel having been killed. Here, David is saying, "I'm innocent forever." He's not talking about exchange. He says he's absolving himself of any guilt in what happened to Abner. So it's kind of a different relationship between the act and him. Okay, verse 28. Now this is a strange word here. Verse 29. Vayachulu al rosh Yoav. I want to stop there. Yachulu is the root, hollow root. Everybody see that from chul? It's a call imperfect, and it means to dance or to whirl. Okay? So it's may, and now he's giving an oath here. So no, it's may they dance on the head of Joab. Okay? Ve'el kol beit aviv, and on all the house of his father. Notice here, again, you have this exchange of El and all that's very typical of Samuel. We see this all the time. And notice in your textual notes under letter B, there are a lot of manuscripts who actually do have Al. So you notice you have Al and El. And so this manuscript is full of things like that. It's not consistent. So may they dance on the head of Joab and on all the house of his father, Aviv. Okay? Ve'al yikaret mibbeit Yoav. And may there not be cut off. See the root karat? Mm-hmm. This is a nifal plus al. May there not be cut off mibbeit from the house of Joab, azav. Okay, you guys, if you've had Hebrew readings, you've seen this word before. This is a participle from the root zuv, to flow, flowing with milk and honey, remember? So this is a call participle, masculine, singular, used as a substantive. Let there not be cut off from the house of Joab one who has a blood flow, basically. That's probably what else would be flowing in this curse, okay? Here's the next one, umetzora. That's from the root zara, and it means it's only used in passive forms, to be leprous. And so here, this is a pu'al participle. Resh can't take the dagish, so it spits it out, remember? And that becomes a holem. The kibbutz becomes a holem from metzura to metzora. So may there not be cut off one with a flow of blood or a leprous dude. Machazik bapelek. Okay, machazik is from the chazek, to be strong. So this is a hifil participle. And remember, in the hifil, chazak means to hold on to. And now this is funny. Pelek is a spindle. Okay. So really it says, or one who holds ba onto the spindle. What the heck does that mean? Most people think it means one who does women's work. because a spindle has to do with sewing. What is a spindle anyway? I mean, they do that for sewing. So see, may there not lack an effeminate one, you might say. See? Okay. Then no fail bacherev, or one who falls on the sword. Or one who lacks, this is chasar, is to lack, okay? Or one who lacks food. So may there never be cut off from Joab one who has a flow, a leprous one, one who holds onto the spindle, one who falls by the sword, or one who lacks bread, a lacker of bread. All right? So notice David does a very harsh curse on his nephew. This is his nephew he's talking about, and his side of the family. All right. Now, you always wonder, it's probably pretty important politically that he did this, if you think about it. I mean, not only theologically, we usually think about it and start interpreting it in theological terms, but think about the political ramifications. Abner had brought Benjamin and Israel over to David. Well, if David's general kills Abner when he let him go peacefully, it actually lures him back, see? Notice who really did the patahing, who did the deceiving here. It was Joab, not Abner, see? And so it's kind of a very ironic twist that Joab accuses Abner of being deceitful, whereas Joab uses deceit to kill him. So politically, notice that David needed to, if he wanted to keep Israel together and not war break out again, what is he going to do to keep the peace, so to speak? And so notice he makes this move to curse his nephew, Joab, in no uncertain terms. Okay. Questions through 29. All right, verse 30. Ve'yoav va'avishai achiv hargu le'avner al asher hemit et asael achihem be'givon. So Joab and Abishai, that's his other brother. Remember, there are three brothers. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, hargu. That's a nice call, perfect third common plural from harag. See that, you guys? Joab and his brother killed Abner. Notice Lamed uses a direct object here. Al asher, because, remember, that construction, al asher, often is causal. Because hamit, because he killed. Notice the different words, harag. See, notice it's like, that's usually translated murder, and we should bring that in. So they murdered Abner because hamit, hifil from mut, because he killed Asael. Remember, he didn't murder Asael. He begged him to leave off the chase. Because he killed Asael, their brother, Achihem, in Gibeon, ba milchama, in the war. So notice the narrator is careful to distinguish between the two acts, the act of Abner and then Joab and his brother, Abishai, against Abner. All right? Very good. Any questions? Yes, Will.
That law that indicates a direct object?
Yeah.
Is that more typical for later Hebrew?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know if anyone's actually looked at that or how carefully they've looked at that. It occurs with certain verbs, right? Certain verbs can take either the et or the lamed. I mean, we see that a lot. You'd think, et, but it's not necessarily consistent. So it may be the style of the author or whatever.
Is it Aramaic? Yeah, I was wondering, is that Aramaic that does that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, you're going to have Aramaic even very early, Aramaisms. But I wouldn't call this one an Aramaism. I mean, it happens pretty frequently. All right, good. We'll do one more verse. Vayomer David el Yoav, ve'el kol ha'am asher eto, kiru big dehem ve chigru sakin, ve siftu lifne avner, ve hamelech David holek achare hamita. Okay. Then David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, kiru, call imperative, tear big dehem, tear your garments, ve chigru sakim, and put on sackcloth. That's a plural from sak. Put on sackcloth and siftu, mourn before Abner. Okay? So he gives that command. And the king, Ve'hamelech David. Notice here the author invokes his title here, the King David, because it's important to see what David did. So the King David, holek, call participle, walked acharei after hamita, after the bed, but we would probably call it the bier. Now, so in other words, there's a funeral procession. The king himself walked behind it. And notice how important that would be symbolically and making all of Judah mourn for the death of Abner. Okay? All right, very good, you guys. We got through verse 31, so we'll start at verse 32 next week. Thank you very much.